لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد respected brothers, elders, respected علماء, colleagues, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Mulana Ismail Aku, alhamdulillah, I think it was myself, Mulana Ismail Aku, and there was me and Mulana Ismail were in that room for 3 years, and then we had many Muhajirs come and many Muhajirs leave. But you know, Mulana is a big guy, and although we slept in separate beds, no matter where you were in that room, you were next to Mulana. So, alhamdulillah. It's no doubt it's an honor being here. It's like coming back home. SubhanAllah, the madrasa that you study and the madrasa that you qualify from, you know, it just has a different feeling to it. In another way, it's also very saddening that once upon a time, where I am standing today, there were people like Maulana Qasim Seema, rahimahullah, standing. You know, people who left a legacy behind. There were people, our teachers, Maulana Mansur al-Haq, Maulana Mumtaz al-Haq, mashallah, Maulana Akram is still here, Maulana Firoz is a local, Maulana Abdul Qadir. May Allah elevate all their status, because in reality, we are nothing without them. Sometimes we don't appreciate that until we leave, and then we realize that we are nothing without our teachers. Our teachers give us something. No matter how much you repay, materialistically, money-wise, you can never repay one lesson which a teacher has taught you. Because there is no money which can be attached to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no equivalent. And therefore, this is, you know, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward people like, especially, you know, our principal, Maulana Qasim Seema rahimahullah, the founder, a man, as I said, who left a legacy. A man who founded the first Darulum in South Africa. The man who was one of the founders of the Tabligh Jamaat. The man who first translated the Quran. And the exceptional thing about Maulana was, for those who did not meet him, he was amazingly humble. You know, a few people pat us on the back after we give a talk, share a good talk, and we know what happens to our ego. Maulana, subhanAllah, you know, when you read the shmail of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see much of the shmail, the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to see it within a man, is Maulana Qasim Seema. I also see, mashallah, the dynamics of Darulum have changed. Once upon a time, when you used to look at the students of Darulum, you would be like Hanover Park, Manenberg, Mitchell's Plain, you know, and one or two Joburg Indians, a couple of Durbanites, the Joburg Durbanites, and then there used to be one guy in the middle from London. Yeah, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, our principal, may Allah elevate his status, our colleague, he's asked me to speak upon one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. I will give a brief talk, because the reality is that I do a 2-day course on Khalid bin Walid. It starts at 9:30 in the morning, Saturday it finishes at 7:30, then on Sunday I teach from 9:30 to 7:30. So I am going to try to condense that within about an hour. The processor is not as good as it used to be, so I will do my best, inshallah. As I mentioned earlier on, the greatness of any nation is defined by the people who dwell within it. The greater the individuals, the greater the nation. No history is written by structures, by wealth. History is written by the men and the women within that community. And if you look at our history, the Islamic history, you will find men, rijal, men of substance. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was once climbing a tree. And he had very thin shins. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw his thin shins and they began to laugh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "What are you laughing at?" And they said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, look at the thin shins of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I swear by Allah, if the thin shins of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud were placed on one side of the scale, and the mountain of Uhud was placed on the other side of the scale, the thin shins of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would be heavier than the mountain of Uhud." Why? Because every ounce, every vein, every ounce of blood was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Abu Talha, his voice in the battlefield is equivalent to 100 men. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said regarding Zubair ibn al-Awwam, Miqdal ibn al-Aswad, Ubad ibn Samit, he said every single one of these people are equivalent to 1,000 men. Regarding Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Umar ibn Khattab said he's an ummah within himself. He's an ummah within himself. And today we are going to speak about a man who was not one. He was not even 10. He was not 100. He was equivalent to 1,000,000. He was equivalent to 1,000,000. His mother would say, "Anta khayru min alfi alfin, idha kubbat wujuh rajali." In the other narration, "Idha kibta wujuh rajali." You are better than 1,000,000 when men fall on their faces in front of you, or when you make men fall on their faces in front of you. Ashuja'un anta ashja'u min laythin wa sahri ibn abi shbani. As for bravery, you are braver than the lion and the tiger and Sahr ibn Abi Shbani. Al-jawadun anta ajwadu min sayl yatasaffalu bayna al-jibali. As far as generosity is concerned, you are better than 1,000,000 when your generosity is like that flood which comes from the top of the mountain. He would say this, he would recite this poetry regarding Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Who was Khalid bin Walid? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he belonged to the tribe of Bani Makhzum. Bani Makhzum was that tribe which was in charge of the military affairs of Quraysh. Out of all the warriors of Bani Makhzum, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was exceptional. His father, Walid ibn Mughira, put him into school. He wasn't interested in education. He was interested in being on the back of the horse. History records that there were two Sahaba radiallahu anhum who could hold the sword, both hold swords in both hands, control the horse with their feet, and fight equally well with both hands. One was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and the other was Zubair ibn al-Awwam. And Zubair ibn al-Awwam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a special dua for him. Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu embraced Islam at a very young age. In some narrations he was 15 years old. And one day he heard that the mushrikeen had killed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he leaves his house and he takes his sword with him, and he's dragging his sword through the streets of Makkah. And one of the first people he bumps into is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Messenger of Allah sees him and he says, "Oh Zubair, where are you going?" He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I heard that the mushrikeen had killed you." And the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said, "So what were you going to do?" He said, "O Messenger of Allah, I had taken an oath that I would make the streets of Makkah flow with the blood of the mushrikeen." And the Prophet ﷺ made a dua for Zubair and he made a dua for his sword. Zubair radiallahu anhu, on the battle of Badr, the narrations mention, he fought with so much courage that when he was wearing a yellow turban, that when the angels descended on the battle of Badr, they were all wearing yellow turbans. So this was Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. And the other one was Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. They say those horses that nobody else could break from the Bani Makhzum. Bani Makhzum were in charge of the military. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu would break them. He was the best soldier amongst the best warriors. And his father was who? Subhanallah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, often he takes something living out of something which is dead. Walid ibn Mughira was the uncontested leader of the Quraysh. He was the richest from amongst them. At any one time, he had 100,000 dirhams at his disposal. As long as Walid ibn Mughira lived, nobody else had the right to feed the Hajis in Mina. He was known as Zahratul Qawm because of his beauty. He was known as Wahidul Qawm because he was exceptionally intelligent. The man who coined the name for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Sahir, as a magician, was no other than Walid ibn Mughira. In some narrations, it mentions that one day he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he listened to the recitation of the Messenger of Allah, and the rumor spread amongst Quraysh that Walid has embraced Islam. So Abu Jahl went to his house and he sat in his house with his head in his hands, and Walid said, "What's wrong?" And Walid and Abu Jahl said, "Oh, my uncle, people are saying that you have left the religion of your forefathers and you have embraced the religion of Muhammad because you are interested in conquering and taking and sharing the wealth of Muhammad." Walid ibn Mughira was a proud man, the richest amongst Quraysh. He said, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Walid ibn Mughira. I don't need anybody else's wealth." And he was thinking, the narration mentioned, he was thinking about embracing Islam. When they said this, SubhanAllah, his pride came in the way of Iman. And then the narrations mention that he was the man who concocted the name Sahir for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just before the Hajj season, he gathered all the people of Quraysh. And he said, "People from all over the Arab Peninsula are going to be coming. And they have heard about Muhammad and they will ask you about Muhammad. We need to be unified in our response. So what shall we say?" So they said, "You tell us, you're the most intelligent from amongst us." And he said, "No, I want to hear your opinion." So some said that we will say that he's a madman. And he said, "We know who madmen are. We see madmen. What Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is not what madmen say." Then somebody else said, "We'll say he's a kahin, he's a sorcerer." He said, "Nobody knows sorcery better than I do. And we know that Muhammad is not a sorcerer." Then somebody said, "We'll say he's a sha'ir, he's a poet." He said, "Nobody knows poetry better than I do. And Muhammad is not a poet." And somebody else said, "We'll say he's a magician." He said, "I know magic and I know magicians. And I know and you know he's not a magician." Then they said, "What shall we say then?" And he said, "We know all this is untrue, but we will say that he's a magician. That he divides between a husband and wife, between a mother and her daughter, between a son and the father. And he was the one who concocted the name Sahih for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." His dislike for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that he had a son called Amara. One day he went to Abu Talib and he said to Abu Talib, he said, "Abu Talib, give us Muhammad and let us deal with him how we feel fit. Let us kill him. And you can have my son Amara, the most handsome boy amongst the Quraysh, intelligent, and you can bring him up." And Abu Talib said, "What kind of deal is this? I give you my nephew, my son, and you kill him, and I raise your child?" And he said, "Isn't it right, a man for a man?" Fool didn't understand if the humanity was placed in one side of the scale and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was placed on the other side of the scale, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be heavier than the entirety of humanity. You've heard about the 10 who have been guaranteed Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was one of those who had been guaranteed Jahannam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida." Leave me to deal with the one. Wahid either means the one that I created myself, or the one who is unique amongst his people. I made him unique. Leave me to deal with him. Allah says in the Quran. And Sheikh Salibi says that his son Khalid bin Walid had all these qualities, but in a positive manner. His father was Wahid. So Sheikh Salibi says that Khalid bin Walid was also Wahid. He was unique in the battlefield. No man before him besides the Anbiya equal Khalid bin Walid. Then the Quran says, وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالٌ مَمْدُودًا. And I gave him vast wealth. He was the richest amongst Quraysh. Look at the wealth that Khalid bin Walid brought into the Muslim Ummah. He rocked the thrones of the two superpowers of the day. All the booty came into this Ummah
because of Khalid bin Walid. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَنِينَ شَهُودًا, and I gave him children who were in his presence. They say in the battle of Amwas, sorry, in the Ta'un of Amwas, the plague of Amwas, Khalid bin Walid lost 40 children. Just in the Ta'un of Amwas. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and yet he desires that I should add more. Walid ibn Mughira wanted more. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu wanted more, but he wanted more for good for the humanity. He wanted to spread Islam more. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding Walid, he says, by no means, surely he offers opposition to our signs. He's stubborn in opposition to our signs. Sheikh Salabi says, Khalid bin Walid was also harsh and stubborn. But the difference between him and his father was that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was stubborn and strong for the sake of the truth. All these verses, which were revealed regarding Walid ibn Mughira, Khalid bin Walid had the same qualities but in a positive manner. In a positive manner. And then came the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, many of the mushrikeen were killed. From the Bani Makhzum, 11 of the family of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu were killed. Where was Khalid bin Walid? He wasn't there. He was on a journey. And then after this came the Battle of Uhud. And the Battle of Uhud, 700 Muslims, 3,000 mushrikeen, and the battle starts. And the Prophet ﷺ had told 50 Sahaba to remain on Jabal Rumat. Jabal Rumat was known as Jabal al-Ainain in the old days. It's a hillock. A hillock. And the Prophet ﷺ had told under Abdullah ibn Jubayr, they say about the Jabal Rumat, you know, the Jabal Rumat, every year it goes down by a meter. Every year. They say when the Hajis from the India subcontinent, the Indians and the Pakistanis come, they take the earth with them for barakah. So every year it shrinks by a meter. So they came, Jabal Rumat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, under Abdullah ibn Jubayr, he told 50 Sahaba, stand on the Jabal Rumat, do not move. In some narrations he said, even if you see birds picking from our head, do not leave your position. And the battle starts. And the 700 Muslims are beginning to overpower the 3,000 mushrikeen. And some of the mushrikeen began to say, this is worse than the battle of Badr. And slowly, slowly, the mushrikeen began to leave the battlefield. And a dispute begins amongst the archers. And meanwhile, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, three times he tried to come around the hillock. Three times the archers have repelled him. And then a dispute breaks out. And there, some of them say that the command of the Prophet ﷺ was only until the battle was going on. Now the mushrikeen are fleeing, we can come down. Abdullah ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu pleaded with them. 40 left their position, only 10 remained. And Khalid bin Walid, he was a master at warfare. He's watching this, he doesn't move an inch. He's watching. And then he sees the 40 coming down. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu defined Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu as a master at warfare, a friend of death. He has the patience of a cat and the dash of a lion. And on that day he showed his patience of a cat. He waited until the archers came down. And when the archers left their position, he came around, he overpowered the 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were on the mountain and they were all martyred. And then he came from behind the Muslims. And on that day he showed the dash of a lion. And every time he would strike the Muslim, he would say, Ana Abu Sulaiman, Ana Abu Sulaiman. And the mushrikeen who were fleeing now returned. And the Muslims were sandwiched. And the rumor spread that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been martyred, had been passed away. And many of the Muslims, when they heard this, they left the battlefield. Although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a handful of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to move back towards the Jabal Uhud. And Ikramah, who was in charge of the other cavalry, came from behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 30 Sahaba around him. And those 30 Sahaba, they made a circle around the Prophet ﷺ. And the only way the mushrikeen were going to reach the Messenger of Allah were over the dead bodies of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Abu Dujana, they say, took so many arrows on that day. He stood in front of the Prophet ﷺ that his back looked like a porcupine. Haris ibn Thimar radiallahu anhum took so many. He took him on his chest. And then he would took him on his back. And he would say, "My chest, not the chest of the Messenger of Allah. My face, not the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." On that day, Talha ibn Ubaydullah sacrificed so much, he lost a finger, became paralyzed. It was on that day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him glad tidings of Jannah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would say that the day of Uhud is the day of Talha. The day of Uhud is the day of Talha. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came. And they encircled the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he goes forward and he's struck down. And the Messenger of Allah said, "Bring him to me." And they bring the Sahabi radiallahu anhu to him. And he reaches the Messenger of Allah. And whilst his cheek is on the blessed foot of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passes away. Wallahi, what honor! What honor that you are defending your master and you die with your cheek on his foot. You will be resurrected the way you die. What honor on the day of judgment, you are resurrected with your cheek on the foot of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the group of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they managed to climb the mountain of Uhud. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu comes. And he comes with a handful of men. And Umar ibn Khattab and some of the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum come out. And they say to Khalid, "Come up." But Khalid was a master at warfare. He knew that they were at a higher position. And Khalid radiallahu anhu goes back. An enemy of Islam. History records that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never lost the battle. And the truth is that the Messenger of Allah would have not lost this battle, and this Muslim would have not lost this battle, if they had not gone against the command of the Messenger of Allah. And it shows his imminent success, imminent victory. But you forego one command of the Messenger of Allah, and victory turns into defeat. Allah. And today the Muslims complain. Look at our state. Look at where we're abased. We're humiliated. But where are the commands of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, in our communities, in our homes? And history records that only two men have never lost a battle: Genghis Khan and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. But there was a difference between Genghis Khan and Khalid bin Walid. Sometimes everybody knows the name of Genghis Khan. How come they don't know the name of Khalid bin Walid? The Muslims and the non-Muslims know the name of Genghis Khan. But you look at, as warriors, Genghis Khan couldn't compare with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Genghis Khan covered more territory, but Genghis Khan never fought one duel. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu fought over 100 duels. Genghis Khan had a huge army. But Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu rocked the thrones of the two superpowers of the day. And there was a difference between Genghis Khan and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Genghis Khan was a tyrant. Genghis Khan would say, paraphrase it, he said, "The greatest desire I have and the greatest happiness I have is when I defeat my enemy. I take their wealth. I see their women crying. And I kill the enemy. And as a final gesture of power, I rape their women." Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu would say, "By Allah, to spend a day in the path of Allah on a frosty cold night is more beloved to me than the first night with my wife." Said, "I swear by Allah to spend a night in a frosty dark night in the path of Allah is more, I have more happiness in this than when I'm given the glad tidings of a newborn child." And then after the battle of Uhud, you have the battle of Khandaq. And the battle of Khandaq, the background is that is also known as the battle of Ahzab. All the enemies of Islam united against the Muslims. Approximately 11,000 mushrikeen and Jews, they gathered and they marched onto Medina. And the Muslims, they dug trenches. And the man who was in charge of the cavalry on that day was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, they define him as la yanamu wa la yanim. He wouldn't sleep, nor would he allow anybody else to sleep. And he kept the Muslims busy. And then there was one group of mushrikeen who managed to come across the trenches. And the leader of this group was Ikrama. But in this group was a warrior called Amr ibn Abdiwud. Amr ibn Abdiwud was known as the greatest warrior amongst the mushrikeen. He had never lost a duel in his life. They say he was equivalent to 1,000 men. He managed to come across the trenches. There were 7 men. And he cut the legs of his horse, meaning that he wasn't going to go back. And then he shouted to the Muslims. He said, "Oh Muhammad, is there anybody ready to duel with me?" And you can imagine the Muslims on the other side. Nobody moved. And then the mushrikeen began to laugh. Then Amr ibn Abdiwud said, he said, "Oh Muhammad, I hear that your martyrs will go into Jannah and our dead will go into Jahannam. Isn't there nobody amongst you who wants to go into Jannah?" Nobody from the Muslim ranks moves. And the mushrikeen begin to laugh. And then he insults the Muslims' Islam. And Ali radiallahu anhu jumps up and he says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to fight." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah said, he said, "Oh Ali, don't you know this is Amr? Sit down." And then he insults the Muslims again. And the mushrikeen begin to laugh again. And Ali radiallahu anhu jumps up again. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in Ali's eyes the desire. He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to fight." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he took off his turban and he placed it on the head of Ali radiallahu anhu. And then he gave him his sword, Zulfiqar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and he said, "Oh Allah, do not take Ali away from me today like you took Hamza on the day of Uhud." And then Ali radiallahu anhu walks out. And whilst he's walking out, Amr ibn Abdiwud was known as a giant. He would have this armor that you could hardly see any part of his body. And it was a mismatch like David and Goliath. And he walks out. And Amr sees this young man. And he says, "Couldn't the Muslims find anybody better than you to send?" And Ali radiallahu anhu said, "I am the lowest from amongst the Muslims, but you deserve nobody besides me. You deserve nobody besides me." Then he says to Amr, he says, "Oh Amr, let me give you a couple of conditions." And Amr said, "What?" He said, "Bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and the Messenger of Allah is his messenger." And Amr says, "Even if my head was in the depths of Jahannam, I wouldn't say these words." Then Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Go back." The second is, "Go back. Do not fight the Messenger of Allah." And Amr said, "Then people would say, I ran away from a little child like you." And then he asked Ali, he said, "Ali, who are you?" He said, "I am the son of Abu Talib." And Amr said, "Abu Talib was my friend." He said, "I don't want to kill you, my son." He said, and Ali radiallahu anhu replied, "But you are the enemy of Allah and His Rasul. You may not want to kill me, but I want to kill you." And this enraged Amr, and Amr attacked. And they say Ali radiallahu anhu was very nimble. And he would move out the way, this side and that side, until Amr became exhausted. And then he pounced on Amr, and you know what they say? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he fell to the ground. And Ali radiallahu anhu took out his dagger. And Amr was a tyrant, he wanted to go out in style. So when Ali radiallahu anhu just about to strike him with his dagger, he spat in the face of Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu got up. Look at this. Ali, if he had killed this guy, he would have been the baddest warrior amongst the Arabs. Amr ibn Abdiwud. They say, when the women, their children wouldn't go to sleep, they would say, "Go to sleep, otherwise Amr will come." Today, when our children don't go to sleep, they say, "Go to sleep, your local Maulana sahab will come." And Ali radiallahu anhu, he spits in the face of Ali. And Ali radiallahu anhu gets up and leaves. And Amr stands up and he says, "What are you doing this for?" He said, because initially I was going to kill you for the sake of Allah. But when you spat in my face, it became personal. It became personal. And Muslims don't do it for a personal reason. Subhanallah. Look at the teaching of Islam. Today what happens? You know, you have some beef with somebody, you have an issue with somebody, and you say, bro, it's personal now. It's personal. Totally contrary to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know the amazing thing on this battle was, you've heard that narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to do qadha of his dhuhr, his asr, his maghrib and his isha. How did that occur? Another person who managed to cross the trenches was Khalid bin Walid. And he kept the Muslims so engaged that the Messenger of Allah did not have time to pray his dhuhr, his asr, his maghrib, his isha. It took 200 men to repel Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. 200 men. But the amazing thing was on this battle, subhanallah, when the Muslims were digging the trenches, they came to the Messenger of Allah and they said, oh Messenger of Allah, we've come across a boulder, we can't break this boulder. So the Messenger of Allah came out and he struck it and a third of it broke. And there was a huge spark and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. Then he struck it again and a third of it broke. And there was a huge spark and the Messenger of Allah said, Allahu Akbar. And then he struck it again and it broke into little pieces and there was a huge spark. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked the Messenger of Allah, what was that spark about? What was the Allahu Akbar about? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I struck it the first time, through the spark Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me that a day would come we would take the palaces of Yemen. And when I struck it the second time, Allah showed me through the spark that a day would come that we would take the palaces of Sham, the Byzantine palaces. And when I struck it the third time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me that a day would come that we would take the white palace of the superpower of the day in Madain, the Persians. But look at this. Who was the man who brought down the two superpowers of the day? It was the very man who was on the other side of the trench and tried to kill the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about who? He was speaking about Khalid bin Walid. That this would be the man. And then after the battle of Khandaq, the mushrikeen went back. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he saw a dream that they are performing Umrah. And the Prophet ﷺ leaves with 1400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum to go and perform Umrah. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhum comes out to intercept the Prophet ﷺ. He comes with 100 men. He reaches a place called Ghameem, Qura al-Ghameem. And he sees the Messenger of Allah ﷺ praying Salah. And he says that I saw him praying Salah. And I thought when they pray the next Salah, I will attack and I will kill him. And come the next Salah, the Muslims pray Salatul Khawf. Which Salatul Khawf is where you divide the people who are praying and one group protect and the others pray. And Khalid said, I was thinking about attacking, but something stopped me attacking. That thing which stopped him attacking was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined for him to be the sword of Allah. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu says, the Messenger of Allah outmaneuvered me and he entered into the haram. And when they entered into the haram, a treaty, they created a treaty, the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And they agreed that the Muslims couldn't do Umrah this year, but they could come the next year. And they could do Umrah al-Qadha. And the Muslims came the next year. And when the Messenger of Allah entered Makkah, Khalid bin Walid left Makkah, saying that if Muhammad enters Makkah, I cannot remain in Makkah. And I may not be able to control myself. And my people and Muhammad have a treaty. So the Messenger of Allah enters into Makkah. And one of the first people he asked for Khalid bin Walid. His brother Walid ibn Walid had already embraced Islam. So the Messenger of Allah asked Walid ibn Walid, where's Khalid? And Walid ibn Walid said, oh Messenger of Allah, he's left Makkah. He's saying that Muhammad is in Makkah, I cannot remain in Makkah. And Khalid and the Messenger of Allah, all he said was, لِلَّهِ دُرُ أَقْلِ خَالِد. He said, intelligent man like Khalid, has he still not understood that there is no God but Allah and I am the Messenger of Allah? And then he said an amazing thing. He said, if Khalid came to us, we would utilize his abilities. We would give him status. And then the Messenger of Allah performed the Umrah and he went back. He goes back to Medina and his brother Walid ibn Walid writes him a letter from Medina. And he says that the Messenger of Allah asked about you. And I told him that you had left Medina and what you had said. And Khalid is now waiting for an acrimonious rebuke. And he said, all the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is an intelligent man like Khalid, has he still not understood that there is no God but Allah and I am his messenger? And the word, the sincerity of the Messenger of Allah permeated his heart through a letter. And Khalid began to ponder and he began to think. And then he saw a dream that he's moving from darkness into light, from dry land into green pastures. And Khalid radiallahu anhu leaves Makkah to go to Medina. On the way,